President Hafez al-Assad recently signed the historic troop disengagement agreement with Israel, which may result in a possible peaceful solution to the Middle East crisis. President Assad, to whom some of the questions were submitted beforehand, was translated from Arabic to English by his private secretary, Mr. Assad Kamel Elias. The voice you will hear in response to the questions is that of the translator. The interview was conducted by John Cooley, Middle East correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor and ABC News, and Peter Jennings, ABC News Beirut Bureau Chief.
President Assad, welcome to Issues and Answers. I suppose the first inevitable question, now that the disengagement agreement between your country and Israel has been signed, is why did you sign it, and what do you believe you have gained from it?
First of all, I thank you, and I wish to say that what we have gained through the signing of the agreement is that we have regained part of our occupied land, and a part of our usurped rights. In our view, the signing of the disengagement agreement constitutes a step which should lead to the next stage, and this stage in turn should lead to the full withdrawal of Israel from our occupied territories and to the restoration of the national rights of the Arab people of Palestine. This, we think, what we have gained from the disengagement agreement.
President Assad, if you consider this to be a first step, what do you expect to happen in the immediate future, the next few months, for example, and do you think it will be a difficult period of negotiations?
There is no doubt that the next stage will be a difficult period, the same as the disengagement talks were themselves difficult talks. What we are going to do in the next few months, in the coming period, is to make contacts with our Arab brothers in order to agree on the necessary arrangements. We shall discuss with them the Geneva conference, and if we reach the convincement that the Geneva conference is an effective way to achieve peace, then we shall make every effort in order to make this conference a success. And it is our wish that the Geneva Conference would be an effective way to achieve peace on the basis of resolution, Security Council Resolution 338.
Mr. President, what will the resumption of Syrian-U.S. diplomatic relations, which we hear is coming very soon, mean for both the United States and for Syria?
We have constantly tried to establish good relations with all other countries. This is a constant policy of ours. Now, when we are aiming at the restoration of diplomatic relations with the United States, this means that things are returning to the normal. This is what is required in the interests of both countries.
Mr. President, do you feel that the United States has made policy mistakes in the past towards Syria? And conversely, do you feel any mistakes might have been made here?
Well, we have always viewed the United States of America as a superpower, a big power, and a permanent member of the Security Council. And as such, the United States has special responsibilities towards peace and justice in this area and in the world in general. In the past, we saw a certain bias. The United States policy was biased towards Israel. This was clear to us. We wanted all the time the United States to have an even-handed policy. But it was clear to us that the policy of the United States was biased towards Israel, which was aggressive and which occupied our territory and dispossessed a great part of our people. On the other hand, there are many vital interests for the American people. These interests can grow and prosper in the atmosphere of good relations with the Arab people, while they could be fatally weakened in the atmosphere of hostility, which is caused by the biased policy towards aggressive Israel.
أن تكون إلى جانب العدل.
It is our ambition that the policy of the United States would embody peace and justice and be expressive of the interests of the American people.
في علاقات إيجابية وجيدة.
And of course, this is not much to ask.
Mr. President. Dr. Kissinger has had a great public impact around the world. And we're particularly curious to know if by this constant contact you've had with him, more than 130 hours the two of you spent together, whether or not you see America in a different light now.
أتابع بقية الكلام عن السؤال نفسه.
Of course, we now see the symptoms of a new direction in the American policy, a new direction which is in conformity with the role which the United States as a big power which has special responsibilities should play. And we believe it will be also in conformity with the policy which will be able to meet the real interests of the American people. In under such a policy, we believe that the interests of the United States and the good relations between the two countries will grow and develop.
I think one must assume that after President Nixon comes here, that President Assad is going to be invited to pay a visit to the United States. If he hasn't been invited already, what would you like to see in America, Mr. President?
I believe, of course, in the United States there are many beautiful things to see. But the most beautiful is the American people themselves.
Very gracious.
Mr. President, Mr. Nixon will be stopping here and in other Arab countries before he goes to the Soviet Union. Do you feel that President Nixon's domestic difficulties with Watergate and related questions are going to affect his role in the Middle East?
We believe that this is a domestic affair, and in our view, it's more desirable if this thing is left to the American people and the competent authorities in the United States to discuss.
But
on the other hand, we believe that efforts made for peace are always useful, no matter what are the difficulties and the obstacles in the way of such efforts.
Mr. President, in the past, Syria and other Arab states have relied on the Soviet Union for support and assistance, and Israel has relied on the United States. In the wake of Dr. Kissinger's mission, do you see Syria having a more balanced role between the two superpowers?
As I said a while ago, we always try to establish natural and good relations with all other countries.
If President Assad is referring to an attempt by Syria to maintain a balanced position, this would be a different reading than is held by many people in the West, most notably in the United States. I wonder then if he is re-emphasizing an increased political relationship with the United States.
It appears to me that things are moving in a satisfactory manner with regard to relations with the United States. And I believe they are developing towards the normal. We are not only desirous, but we are seriously endeavoring to have good and normal relations with the United States.
President Nixon is traveling to Moscow, he has said, in further pursuit of Soviet-American detente. What effect does this detente have on Syria's goals of recovering her lost territory and the securing of rights for the Palestinians?
In our view, the Soviet American detente should be based on justice and on the quest for peace. In other words, we believe that such detente would aim at establishing justice and peace in our area and in other areas of the world. And if it is so, and we assume that it is so, then we have an interest in such detente. And we believe, in this case, that it should not be against, not contrary to our interests. Therefore, we believe that the American-Soviet detente would serve the goals for which we have been struggling, namely to restore our occupied territories, the territories which have been occupied by Israel since 1967, and the restoration of the rights of the Arab people of Palestine. Because it is our belief that these goals are fair and just, and if they are attained, then this will help to establish peace in this area.
Mr. President, a great many Arabs that we talk to as reporters certainly feel that the possibilities of detente between the Soviet Union and the United States will in fact freeze the situation in the Middle East again, and that neither the United States or the Soviet Union will want to move forward into a period of conflict here. Now, if that occurs, and if, for example, you have not moved forward in this next step, as you call it, after disengagement, surely détente must endanger that which you want.
I do not like to imagine that the two superpowers would agree to freeze the present situation in our area. Because what does this mean? It means to maintain the grievances which are now existing in the area. This is a thing which I would not like to imagine. And I doubt indeed that this is the aim of détente, that the aim of détente is to maintain grievances. I doubt it. We believe that détente between the two superpowers, which are permanent members of the Security Council and which have a special responsibility towards peace and security in the world, such detente would be in the direction of removing grievances rather than maintaining, keeping them.
Mr. President, what guarantees do you have that the next stage after disengagement will occur? Do you have a written assurance from Dr. Kissinger? Do you have an agreement we do not know about with the Israelis?
I cannot say in the precisely in the full sense of the word guarantees that there are any such guarantees. I mean international guarantees from the United States or any other foreign party. But I believe that the United Nations has a special task towards the next stage and toward peace. The United States also has a special task because it has a special role. And the international society should also carry out its task towards justice in this area. And of course, the United States has promised during the talks which were carried out with Secretary Kissinger to continue to make efforts in order to establish peace in the Middle East. A reference to this matter, also we find it in some recent statements and speeches by President Nixon. And of course, both President Nixon and Secretary Kissinger know our concept of peace in this area and our understanding of the factors which lead to the establishment of peace in this area. Who knows? Perhaps we have similar views on the prerequisites of peace. Anyway, the future will tell whether this is true or not.
The President has made it clear on previous occasions that if it is necessary from Syrian's point of view to go to war again, then you will. How difficult would it be for you, or for that matter for the Palestinians, to go to war now against Israel, or to attack Israel, with the United Nations force between the two armies?
No. First of all, I want to make it clear that we do not want war. We do not want bloodshed. We are honest and sincere in our quest for peace. When we fought in October and after October, our fighting was, in fact, for the aim of achieving peace in this area. And if we will have to fight again in the future, then it will be for the same cause, for the same goal. We believe that what really prevents war is a sincere, a genuine orientation towards peace.
Mr. President, there has recently been a new prime minister in Israel. I wonder if you would assess him as you see him, and also how you see Israel since the October War.
Well, there are many new things which are worth talking about in Israel after the war. But fundamentally, there is a major new element, namely that there were thoughts which had prevailed in Israel and which were adopted even by the leadership in Israel, and the ordinary people were educated on such thoughts. Those thoughts said that the Israelis were the permanent victors, and we, the Arabs, on the other hand, always the defeated. I believe that these thoughts have no more the same strength which they had before the war. I do not believe that many Israelis now still believe that they are permanent victors and that we are permanently defeated.
Mr. President, a great deal is heard in the Middle East about the phrase, the rights of the Palestinians. Very few people are able to define exactly what they mean by those rights. Would you please define them as you see them?
Of course, the main side which is responsible to define the rights of the Arab people of Palestine are the leadership of that people. To avoid much talking, I would refer to the United Nations resolutions. In these resolutions, we may find a clear and good guide towards the rights in their exact definition. In some way or another, the United Nations resolutions define the rights of the people of Palestine.
It is fairly clear, though, surely, Mr. President, that the UN resolutions have been swallowed up to some extent by big power politics in the Middle East. There's much talk now, for example, of a Palestinian state in the West Bank and Gaza. Would you encourage the Palestinians to accept that as either a fait accompli or as a first step?
The National Assembly of the Palestinians is now meeting in Cairo, and the members of the Executive Committee of the PLO are members of this assembly. So if they take a decision in this direction, then we'll stand by, we'll support such a decision.
Finally, Mr. President, if I may, a personal question. I know you have 5 children, I think, and I'm curious to know if you ever do have any time to see them, what you do with them. And secondly, I'm kind of curious to know how your English studies are doing.
As I said before, during our talking, I try always to find time to spend with my family. When I find this time, I look at the children, schoolwork. But recently I find little time to spend with my family. And also I wish sometimes to find or to study English language when I find the suitable time.
Thank you very much, President Assad, for being with us on Issues and Answers.
Thank you. Shukran.